All right, we'll go ahead and get restarted, and we're going to start with Swift Fox.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Director Williams. I'm, again, John Vorey with the Wildlife Bureau here in, or Wildlife Division here in Helena. And the next item is going to be the Swift Fox Conservation Strategy. In June, we brought before you a draft strategy to go out for public comment, which you adopted for public comment at that time. It was out for public comment until July 15th, and we received 10 comments. Two of those were supportive of that strategy. One asked for an increased emphasis on reintroductions, and the other 8 comments opposed the current harvest of 10 swift fox. Now, the strategy that you have before you today differs from that which you saw in 2018 in that it updates swift fox numbers based on finalized data, and it includes a section on harvest management. Those are the two major issues, or the two major changes in the draft that you saw earlier. So Fish, Wildlife, and Parks will use a population viability analysis to inform harvest recommendations. The PVA, as it's called, uses survival, reproduction, and other important population metrics from field research to predict population persistence over time under different harvest regimes. Using the lower confidence interval from the 2014-15 population estimate, that is a low population estimate of 266, and using this population viability analysis, over the next 100 years, barring any unforeseen disease or weather or other specific events, the probability of swift fox going to zero, the probability of the population declining is zero. And so if there were some other unusual events like the wet weather or something which may have driven the previous population decline, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, we would, as responsible managers, respond to that by appropriately adjusting the harvest limits there. So the the overall population for Montana and Canada currently is about 900, or in, at least in 2015-16 was estimated at to be about 900. That portion of that study area in Montana was estimated to be about 347 at that time. Keep in mind that it's only a portion of Montana up along the northern high line up there. There are other swift fox in the state that we know of. We don't know how many there are in other places of the state, but there are other and unknown numbers of swift fox. So with that very brief introduction, I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Thank you. John, do we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move the commission adopt the Montana Swift Fox Conservation Strategy as presented by FWP.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any questions or comments from the commission? I just wanted to, John, this is very similar to the mountain lion plan that we passed earlier today in that it doesn't set harvest prescriptions. It just increases. And the way I read this, it sounds like it's going to increase our monitoring, increase our understanding of the population, and allow us to be more, have better data to base our management decisions.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, because Montana is part of the Swift Fox Conservation Team, which is an international team of researchers and managers. And so Montana is part of that, and as part of that, we've come up with this plan, which we hope the commission will adopt as final now.
Ms. Corey, following up a little bit on what Dan said, this does not set the quotas for any of the trapping or harvesting, but does the international coalition that you talked about, does that in any way, shape, or form require us to do anything with trapping or non-trapping or numbers or anything like that?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Stuker, no, it doesn't.
Thank you.
So all of that would be done during season setting, the quotas and everything?
Yep, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Brower, correct. That's correct.
That'll next be done by this commission in May.
I believe it's June and then an August final.
June and August. Okay. Any further comments from the commission? We'll go ahead and open it up for public comment on the plan. So I just want to make sure people understand that this is a discussion of the Montana Swift Fox Conservation Strategy set forth in materials It's not a discussion of quotas because that's something we'll do at season setting later. So with that, we'll open up for public comment.
Hello, Commissioners, Director. My name is Daniel Kink. I work for American Prairie Reserve. We've already provided supportive comments to this plan, extensive comments from my colleague Colleen here. I just had one point of a question, really. I see in the, I think it's a newer amendment to the plan, there's a sentence that says the basis for FWP recommending a limited harvest season for swift fox, et cetera, is based on swift fox population status, public support, incidental take, and trapper interest. And we'd just be curious to know how those things are gauged and also how that information is integrated into coming to any decision that's made, particularly how public support and trapper interest is gauged in relation to swift fox specifically. And I don't know if somebody from FWP would be willing to speak to those questions. But other than that, we're very supportive of this plan and appreciate the ability to make comments. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. For John or whomever.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. In response to that question, Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, as you know, for any proposal for any harvest season, it goes to public comment. We take that public comment and we analyze that, make any changes in response to those comments, as we did in this case for this plan. All those comments also go to the commission. And we also do the population viability analyses. We use the tools that are at our disposal. We also have the regions also do regional meetings with trappers and other stakeholders for any of these issues. So I think that addresses that question.
And who are the other stakeholders? Why don't you describe the process so people know exactly what you guys, do a lot of outreach.
Yeah, the process for going through any kind of a season proposal is that we put the proposal together, we bring it before the commission at a meeting. The commission and the public even at that time can make comments or ask questions, and then the commission decides whether or not that proposal would go out for public comment. They go out for public comment, usually for 30 days, sometimes for a longer period, and we collect those public comments. We also often have regional meetings within the region with stakeholders, which can, in this case, include trappers, other people that are interested in wildlife or have a concern about wildlife, people that are wildlife watchers, anybody that – we're all stakeholders because we all own the wildlife in Montana.
So it's open to both consumptive users and non-consumptive.
Oh, absolutely. Users. Absolutely, yes.
All right. Thank you. Further public comment?
Chairman, Commissioners, I'm Casey York with Trap Free out of Hamilton. A couple of things. Of course, we're going to support a conservation strategy. But a few discrepancies we saw in the final draft. There were actually 41 comments that were submitted per the August conclusion that FWP wrote up. We have them here. Also, according to the Montana National Heritage Program, swift fox breed from late December to early March, which correlates to our trapping season, November 1st to March 1st. This year it closed on January 26th after a quota of 10 was reported reached. However, last year it closed 3 weeks after that quota of 10 was reached. 10 was reached on 12/20 and it closed on 1/10 with a reported mortality of another 12 swift fox. I have the documentation if anybody wants to review. It's the reports that I received from FWP. There was talk in there about reintroducing swift fox. I submitted a document to all of you. I hope you had a chance to look at it. The cost to swift fox for reintroduction ran anywhere from $900 to like $5,000. So I think we have to be very mindful of that. My understanding is swift fox value for a pelt is about $7, roughly a dollar per pound of their weight. And that some trappers want the notoriety of trapping swift fox because they're so rare. So I would highly encourage make use of that drive, that prowess, that pride, to help actually aid the swift fox and live trap them and get them to some other areas. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. York.
John, actually, I'm curious about the quota question she raised and what, you know, her data is correct that we waited 3 weeks after the closure and then we had a 12, basically doubled the take in the next 3 weeks.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not aware of that, and I would refer to perhaps the Region 6 staff if that is the case there.
Thanks for the question. We're sitting here also, comparing notes. Unsure. This refers to last year, the quota being closed 3 weeks after the it was reached, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I might defer to our wildlife biologist with swift fox responsibilities, Heather Harris.
Hi, thank you. I am unaware of that, I apologize. The only thing I can think of is we did have an incidental harvest last year that was taken outside of the trapping district, which might have reported 10 fox being taken, but only 9 would have counted towards the quota. The 11th would have closed it since we do not count incidental take towards our harvest quota. I am unsure of the 12 extra reported unless they were roadkill or if they were taken in other regions.
Could I ask a question? And I heard it maybe a little different than Dan, and he's probably correct. Did you say, were you talking that it closed 3 weeks later than it did last year, and that's why? Yes.
Yeah, come on up. Come on up to the microphone so folks can hear you there.
Because what I heard you say, and again, I'm probably wrong, was that the 1 year it closed in January, but the next year, being the 10 had not been taken, the season stayed open 3 weeks longer.
I'm sorry, I probably wasn't clear, Commissioner Stuker, Chairman Vermillion. So last year, or this year, for this season, for the 2018-2019 season, it closed on January 26th at the reported quota when 10 were reached. Last year, for the 2017-2018 season, a female swift fox was trapped on, was reported trapped on, or the 10 was reached effective 12/20/17, and then another one, a male, was trapped after that. Have it here so I can turn these records in.
But those would be incidental traps.
No, the season was still open, okay? So they breached their 10, and generally then they have 48 hours. They give 48 hours. Actually, it's longer than that, but the idea is a 48-hour season that it's closing. So that was, the female was caught on 12/20. On 1/7, a male was caught, still Region 6, County Valley. So that's within that protective zone. And then after that, there was another one that was killed. So there was 12. And the season then closed, if you look at the records, on 1/10. So 3 weeks after the quota of 10 were reached. And it was explained to me those swift fox that come from outside that region that they're allowed to be trapped don't count. So that was probably the 12th one, which is just really important. Commissioner Aldridge, you raised that question in August. You know, what happens if within the quota and all that they count? If it's within that quota, within that time frame, afterwards, they don't come off the next year. If they're outside that region, apparently that doesn't impact the closing of the quota, but there were 11 in that area. And I can turn this in. I mean, I got this from FWP records. It's not my compilation. So thank you.
Thank
is
you.
Is that clear? Okay.
Yeah, thanks. No, it makes more sense because I thought you said it went from 10 to 24.
Yeah. 10 to 24?
Well, that's what I heard, or that's what I understood. That was my mistake.
I get nervous. As much as I do this, I get nervous.
Mr. Chair, before Ms. York sits down, I have a question for you, too, just to clarify where you got the information so we know within the agency how to track down and understand what happened.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I requested this from Dr. Inman, and I think Shauna Pinsky kind of helps gather this because I was trying to get more information on the swift fox.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further public comment.
This is Region 4, and we have someone here, please.
Yep, proceed.
Announce yourself.
This is Dave McEwen from Glada, Montana, or actually up on the Canadian line, with Montana wool growers and myself. And I would like to comment on the conservation strategy for the Swift Fox, if that's what I can do.
Yep, please do.
Okay, I'll let this rip. First of all, reading through the conservation plan, I find a certain amount of hypocrisy when the first line says federal eradication campaigns focused on coyotes and wolves was the demise of the Swift Fox. When you go to page 5 and the coyote is the primary source of mortality from 33% to 74%. That's a little disturbing right off the get-go. Legitimacy of this whole thing is in jeopardy when we had people not connected to this agency claiming they were doing wildlife studies to find Swift Fox, and when doing that, claimed that they were representing FWP, when in fact, FWP knew nothing about it. That was a personal experience. And if you go to page 3 of the conservation plan, you'll see that there's an area in the Sweetgrass Hills that there was none detected or none found. That's because that individual was asked to leave because she claimed to be with FWP, and your area biologist emphatically, and I want to emphasize the word emphatically, said that she was not part of FWP. The other part of the conservation plan that is disturbing is that it does not address actual stakeholders or private property ownership. It doesn't address an increasing population of Swift Fox and predation on the black-footed ferret. It doesn't totally address the spread of fleas causing bubonic plague in dog towns. It doesn't even mention the increased predation by the fox on birds such as sharptail and sage hen. It does not address the impact of private property, especially as it relates to predator control, on incidental takes by tools used by landowners in this region to prevent predation on their own livestock. It would be our suggestion that the commission takes a no action and even go so far as a rewrite on this strategy plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Further public comment. Wait for Rich to get back for to vote. But any further comment from the commission? We should just vote. I assume Rich is going to support this, so. We'll just take a quick moment until the vice chairman comes back, and then we'll vote.
You know, I just may ask John a question, you know, because I think that what's just been said, you know, would indicate that maybe our public engagement efforts up there, you know, didn't identify some of the concerns that were just raised. I know nothing about that other than, you know, that if those issues were concerned and if they were they weren't documented or whatever in such a way that they looked at these other issues were also concerned, you know, in our
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Aldridge, thank you for the question. I assume you're referring to the comments that Mr. McEwen just made there.
Absolutely.
There were a number of things that Mr. McEwen touched on, and I probably won't be able to remember what all of them were, but I would like to address the people that are trapping for livestock protection. If you're trapping for livestock protection, be it for coyotes or whatever, that's outside of the authority of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and we have no say over that. So that wasn't addressed there.
Well, then is it fair to take the next step, which says that nothing in this plan will affect people's ability to trap coyotes on their private property?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear
that. Nothing in this plan is going to affect a private property owner's ability to trap coyotes on his private property.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. And I do remember that one of the first comments Mr. McEwen made referred to the early efforts to control coyotes and wolves had a lot to do with poisoning. And so the poisoning, of course, Swift Fox also ate some of the poison. So that was some of the reason for the early declines in Swift Fox numbers. I'm sorry, I don't recall the other points that Mr. McEwen made, but
we heard him. So
I do have another little bit of information to address some of the comments that Ms. York made here concerning the harvests or the takes in 2017. So there were 10 trapped in the designated harvest area. In addition to that, there was a roadkill. And in addition to that, there was an incidental trap outside of that area. So it doesn't go against the quota.
Yeah, no, my concern was I understood her to say we harvested 24 when our quota was 10, and that
right.
That seemed like a significant overrun.
That caught my ear, too.
But I'm glad it makes more sense to me now. All right.
I think Mr. McEwen also mentioned some of the pet hazards, you know, in terms of some of the vermin that might be carried around by the swift fox. And what else? At least one other item that I remember. Please, yeah, and the effect on upland birds. You know, you talked about that. So, I'm sure they were looked at, but I guess can you add any information on that, John?
Thank you, Commissioner Aldrich. I can't say specifically that they were looked at. I know that the Swift Fox Conservation Team, the international team, looks at all different things, and I assume they took that under consideration. Commissioner Stuker asked me earlier on if Swift Fox can eat sage grouse, and I suppose they would if they can catch one or a very small one. Keep in mind that a Swift Fox about the size of a house cat, they're pretty small, so sage grouse probably outweighs a big male sage grouse anyway outweighs most swift fox, so it's possible that they would eat chicks and that kind of thing too. But with the number of swift fox, their diet consists mostly of small rodents, beetles, grasshoppers, that kind of thing. So.
Thank you. All right, do we have any further comments from the commission before we vote? Seeing none, all those in favor of supporting the Swift Fox conservation strategy support, say aye.
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 All those, any opposed? Nope. Motion passes.
Region 1 deer?
Yep.